The Life of Gustavus Adolphus, The Quest for Maria Leonora, Part 3. Now, within the electoral family of Maria Eleonora, a battle of wills was raging, and it was some time before a decision emerged from the conflict. Johann Sigismund's favorite was still Gustavus Adolphus, and Maria Eleonora ranged herself on the same side. The electoral prince, George Wilhelm, tried to steer a middle course. He felt himself flattered by the offer of the Prince of Wales and pushed the claims of his younger sister, Katharina, as a more suitable wife for the King of Sweden. The advantage of this policy was that it afforded time for reflection, for Maria Eleonora was barely of marriageable age. The Electress Anna, on the other hand, would have nothing to do with any Swedish match, remarking that she would sooner see her daughter in the grave. For Gustavus Adolphus, who at regular intervals pressed for a decision and did his best to keep the iron hot, it had become a point of honor to win Maria Eleonora and none other. In the summer of 1619, however, Gustav Horn was dispatched on an embassy to the old elector, then in residence at Königsberg, and as a result was able to return with an unexpectedly favorable news, that there could be no question of any other suitor than the King of Sweden, and that the marriage was to be effected as soon as possible. But it soon became clear that those promises and policies represented only the personal views of Johannes Sigismund. Gustavus Adolphus believed the prize to be within his grasp. He began immediate preparations for his wedding. The rooms in the castle of Stockholm were cleaned and painted. The cellars were stocked. The provincial nobility and their wives were invited to come up to the capital. Gustav Horn sent back immediately to Germany to inform the elector and the electress that the king intended to pay a personal visit to their court, and with that Gustavus Adolphus set sail from Kalmar, there to await a reply. By the middle of August, Horn was back from Berlin. He brought with him a letter from Johann Sigismund, expressing his pleasure at the projected visit. It was accompanied by another letter from the Electress Anna to the Queen Mother, in which the Electress demanded in no uncertain terms that she should prevent her son's journey as being prejudicial to Brandenburg's interests in the view of the state of war existing between Sweden and Poland. Her husband, she wrote, was so enfeebled in will by illness that he could be persuaded to agree to anything, even if it tended to the destruction of his country. It was a rebuff that verged on an insult. What Anna omitted to mention was the fact that she was hastening to put herself and Maria Eleonora in a place of safety in case the headlong suitor was not to be deterred by this broadside. Shortly afterwards, they both moved to Brunswick to stay with the Duchess Anna Sophie, the Electress's married daughter. For Gustavus Adolphus, there was nothing for it but to swallow the insult, break off preparations for the wedding, and postpone the affair once more. He was certainly not inclined to throw up the sponge, as they would say. With Johann Casimir, who was dubious of the possibility of success in the struggle with Anna, tried to divert his attention to other German princesses, Katharina of Palatinate, or the beautiful and amiable Sibyl Magdalene of Baden-Durrach. The king declared that he preferred to suffer a categorical refusal rather than contract a fresh engagement. But everything seemed to be conspiring against him. At the end of the year, Johann Sigismund died. With him went the king's best support, and it appeared that the contest must now be a very unequal one, particularly as the question of investiture for Prussia was growing more acute than ever. In the view of the death of the last duke in the preceding year and the change of rulers in Brandenburg, nevertheless, George Wilhelm could not find it altogether easy to keep on good terms with the dictatorial Electress Dowager. Anna considered her son's attitude to Poland to be altogether too compliant, and viewed the prospect of a marriage with Maria Eleonora and Wendislaw as repugnant. In March 1620, Aram paid a visit to Stockholm. Nothing definite is known of its object, but the information he brought with him must have had the effect that the position was not absolutely hopeless. At the same moment, Johann Casimir returned to Sweden. Gustavus Adolphus summoned the war council. He resolved to hazard a decisive frontal attack on Berlin. If that proved unsuccessful, then he was prepared to reconnoiter the other courts that his brother-in-law had suggested. The plan of campaign was Johann Casimir, and Johann Casimir accompanied the expedition to Germany. when, after sundry false starts, it finally took its departure. The end of April, the king boarded ship in the greatest secrecy at Alsvinnaven. 8 days later, he cast anchor off the coast of Rügen, where he and the Palatinate were landed, together with a select company of young noblemen, among whom was Johann Boehner. The ship's captains were ordered to hold themselves in readiness to meet them on their return, which was not expected until the week before Midsummer. But the king's suite, which had orders to call him Adolf Carlsen and treat him as a comrade before strangers, considered it relatively improbable that the expedition would get further than Berlin. There were plenty of exciting moments. One of the party, Johann Hand, who recorded his observation experiences in a diary, remarked, quote, that the whole trip was for all the world like a comedy, end of quote. Everybody in the merry party knew the purpose of the journey, but the matters of importance were discussed only between the king and Count Palatine, who in public played the part of leader of the expedition. So Gustavus Adolphus' first visit to Berlin is going to do nothing to clear the air, and we'll see that next time. The sources for this are Gustavus Adolphus versus Wallenstein by Pike, Gustav Adolphus, Sweden and the 30 Years' War, 1630-32, by Volk, The Lion of the North by Henty, Gustav Adolphus the Great by Onlund, and Gustav Adolphus and the Rise of Sweden by Roberts, Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 1, Infantry, by Brzezinski. Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 2, Cavalry, by Brzezinski. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.